I had the privilege of doing my seminary studies in Washington, D.C. at the Catholic University of America, which is located right next to the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, the largest Catholic church in North America. Over those 5 years of my time in seminary, I grew rather fond of this basilica. It's very Byzantine in its style, its architecture, its art. There's mosaics covering almost every square inch of the interior. Very, very shiny and gold on the inside, and has these large, you know, round domes, very, very Byzantine style architecture. But I grew rather fond of it. And when you walk in through the main doors of the upper church and you look all the way to the rear apse, you'll see one of the largest mosaics of Jesus in the whole world. It's called Christ in Majesty. And this is a very striking mosaic, very striking depiction of our Lord. It's not the depiction of Jesus, the good shepherd, you know, with a lamb over his shoulder, very gentle. This is the warrior king. This is the Lord of the universe, the judge of the living and the dead. And when you see it in person, it's hard to forget. I suspect if you've never seen it before and you go to visit one day, you'll have one of two reactions. Either you will want to triumphantly throw your fist up in the air and shout, "Yeah, that's our king!" Or you will be moved to repentance and immediately go searching for the nearest confessional or the nearest priest. But I will say this, it's likely not until you walk up close to this mosaic and you look right up at Jesus standing right underneath him that you will notice a very small but very important detail. And it's the eyebrows. The eyebrows. One of Jesus' eyebrows is raised, signifying his justice. The other eyebrow, however, is relaxed, signifying his mercy. And in our readings today, that is our theme. We see that God's apparent tolerance of evil in the short term is an expression of his mercy and his desire that all should repent. And yet ultimately, it's clear too that God can and will establish justice. The parables we hear several parables today. They're called the parables of the kingdom in chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel. And we hear several of them today. And they're all important to ponder because all of them teach us something about the nature of the church. They help us to understand that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is truly present in the church despite appearances to the contrary. I want to focus on the parable of the weeds and the wheat. Jesus addresses a very common question in the hearts of and minds of many, many people, many Christians, in fact. Why hypocrites and other willful sinners are allowed to exist within the visible church? This can be a major obstacle for many people, even very faithful Catholics. If the Catholic Church is the bride of Christ, if the Catholic Church is the manifestation of the kingdom of God, why would there be so many evildoers? Why so many who cause scandal and confusion or division? Why so many hypocrites? Even among the church's leaders, it's very puzzling for some people and hard to grapple with. But Jesus gives us an answer today in this parable of the weeds and the wheat. God permits sinners within the church to allow them the opportunity of repentance. Were he to execute judgment in this age, some destined for repentance would be judged prematurely. St. Jerome, one of the early church fathers, understood this, as many of the early fathers understood this. And let me just quote him speaking about this parable. He says that this parable should be understood as even counseling against too quickly or rashly condemning an imperfect believer, saying, quote, "For room for repentance is left, and we are warned that we should not hastily cut off a brother, since one who is today corrupted with an erroneous dogma may grow wiser tomorrow and begin to defend the truth. Wherefore it is added, lest in gathering together the tares, you root out the wheat also." End quote. So Jesus tells us in this parable that we should not be surprised and scandalized by the presence of evildoers within his visible body, the church. And we cannot and should not conclude that because the visible church is not pure, that therefore the visible church is not the manifestation of the kingdom of God. But I think rather than complain or worry about God's tolerance of weeds, we should keep in mind, and this is where the parable is very challenging, we should keep in mind that at the final judgment, we may find that we ourselves were weeds, for whose conversion to wheat the Son of Man was patiently waiting. It's a very easy thing to notice the weeds in others out there. It's a much more difficult thing to tend to the weeds in our own hearts, our own sins and hypocrisy. This is why Jesus says elsewhere in the gospel to remove the beam from your own eye before taking the speck out of your brother's eye. Finally, much like the mosaic in the Basilica in D.C., this parable today of the weeds and the wheat soberly reminds us of the reality of the final judgment, if we have ears to hear. Jesus' warnings, not just here, but elsewhere in the Gospels, are firm and straightforward. He doesn't beat around the bush. It's possible for us to so distort our souls by our evil choices in this life that we end up calling good evil and evil good, and rejecting the goodness of God for eternity. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, The Great Divorce, that there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God says, "Thy will be done." So let's pray today to our merciful God, who is good and forgiving, that he will save us from our own hypocrisy and our own spiritual blindness, such that we may be true wheat gathered into his barn.